What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
The Dublin Transport Plan is in full swing today, but how has it gone down? Well, I'm delighted to be joined now by Brian Caulfield, who's Professor in Transportation at the School of Engineering at Trinity College, and also by Ger Hyland, who's Driver Operator and President of the Irish Road Haulers Association. You're both very welcome to the show this evening.
Good evening.
Brian, I'm going to start with you, please, because I don't know, by now we're probably all very well versed with what the new restrictions are in place. Maybe just give us a reminder of what they are, what people will now get when they come into Dublin.
So essentially what's happening is that there's no traffic allowed to cross over O'Connell Bridge. So almost if you kind of put a box over where O'Connell Bridge is, traffic's not able to go through there. Private cars aren't able to go through there. Instead, they have to go around to get to their destination. There's no ban on vehicles coming into the city centre. I know that's been reported a lot in the media. Everywhere that it was accessible before, still accessible. It will take more time, more planning, but that's what they've put in. And in the area that in question, about 50% of the space was given up to about 2% of the traffic. So what it is really is a rebalancing to enable the people that are using buses. In some cases, there's almost 125,000 people using buses there every day on buses to get you there quicker.
Now, we're not exactly back to full tilt today. We've got lots of schools coming back, universities still to come. But what's the initial reaction for your first full day of a working day in Dublin?
So from what I can see, there's no data out there yet as to what happened. But, you know, the idea was that it was actually to start a lot earlier in August, so we would be able to bed it in more. But, you know, we are where we are. From what I can see from media reports is that things are moving quickly. But what I would really like to see Dublin City Council do, as they've done before when they've made changes on the keys, is to give us the information to tell us how much our bus is getting through there quicker. Is congestion moving to another part of the city? And what the main impacts of it will be. But I don't think we'll see that now for another couple of months, though.
Mm. Ger, I'm going to bring you in here now, please, because obviously throughout the discussion on this and in the lead-in, you know, you've been at pains to point out that this is going to be a huge difficulty for your members. Maybe just tell us today again why that you feel that will be the case.
Well, I'll just give you an example. One of our members hauling stuff out of the Agio to Dublin Port. First thing he has to do to get even in as far as the Agio, he has to pay a permit of €10, which was fine when he could transit the city. But now that he can't transit the city down through the city centre, down over O'Connell Bridge, we're calling for that permit to be abolished. He has to go back out and onto the M50 and pay the M50 toll to get to the port. So it's adding miles, it's adding carbon, it's adding an additional cost. So all that transport coming into Dublin City, into the likes of the Agio, back out from the Agio, that's all going to have an inflationary cost on that type of transport.
Mm.
The deliveries in around the city centre, I suppose today it's just the first day. We'll have to maybe sit back for a week or two and see when all the schools and everything starts back and see how the whole thing beds in.
Mm.
But we can't afford to have delivery trucks driving around in circles in around the city centre trying to get onto loading bays and trying to get deliveries done. Now, there is a certain amount of low-hanging fruit there that would be a huge help to everybody. We're calling once again for the ferry times to be adjusted, for ferries to come in earlier in the morning, and we'd have them trucks gone off the ferries, out off the M50 before it starts to get congested. The container terminals in around Dublin Port need to be opened earlier in the morning and need to open later at night to facilitate trucks getting in and out of Dublin Port and taking congestion off the M50.
Yeah, and, you know, there as this progresses and as more sort of the normal traffic comes back to onto the quays, we'll start to see if those problems that you're articulating there arise. But on the margins of that, you know, today in trying to operate it, have you been getting any feedback from hauliers about their journeys throughout the day? Have they been encountering any severe difficulties?
I haven't been getting any feedback yet. It's probably a bit early in the day.
It's probably a bit early.
Brian, yeah, probably is.
Brian, can I bring you in here, please? Because, look, this is a very sensible thing, I suppose, to do if you're going to try and introduce something like this. It's a slow creep towards its full implementation. It's a Monday. There's not everybody's in the office. The schools aren't back and all of that. But there's no doubt that there's obviously an objective here to try and keep non-public transport vehicles outside of the city. But is that realistic for Dublin? Does it work in other European capitals?
It does work in a lot of other European capitals. But I suppose the difference between Dublin and some of the other European capitals is that they have a much more advanced public transport network. And that's something that we need to have. We need to be building metro. And when metro is being built, we'll have lots of diversions like this that are going to cause a lot more issues, I suspect. But Metro Lewis, we need to be building them. We declared a climate emergency. We haven't built any new light rail in the city for 7 years. Yes, we're bringing this in. The thing about bringing this in is it speeds up public transport and it kind of gets rid of the kind of issues around reliability and schedule and all those kind of things. Other European cities do it and it is very successful. Very few cities that bring in these types of interventions take them out. And we see that in Ireland. We see that in, you know, Grafton Street, Henry Street. Very few cities, you know, revert back to, you know, the cars clogging up the city. But, you know, this is kind of, I think, the thin end of the wedge, that there are a lot more plans that are about to be put in place. And I do think that the City Council and the councillors and the politicians that are involved need to be, I suppose, better engagement with citizens on how this is happening and how it's going to change our city. And putting the benefits out there, it's going to be cleaner air quality, less noise, all of these things, and a more livable city.
Ger, just to bring you in on that idea of more negotiations or consultations with industry before something like this would happen, as Brian has said there, this is probably the thin end of the wedge for you. Did you have much consultation with Dublin City Council before they brought this in?
Well, from the day it was talked about, we've been trying to negotiate with them, and we've objected to it because of the city centre deliveries. And really, there is not enough loading bays in around the city centre for us to effectively get our job done. The fact that we're going to be driving around in circles again to get on to loading bays is going to slow up the delivery process. We're getting it hard enough to get drivers to do them deliveries in around the city centre, and this isn't going to help. And really and truly, we have to bear in mind when we're doing programmes like this that the cornflakes and the toothpaste don't grow on the shelves. They have to be got there some way or another. And, you know, really, this will have a detrimental effect on the shopping people in Dublin, the people who are trying to run businesses and run shops in around the city centre.
Yeah, so, and that is a real consideration, isn't it, Brian? I know you're hugely supportive of this initiative, but I was talking to a taxi driver earlier today about the potential effect of this, and just looking at examples of things that are already happening. We started to talk about the pedestrianisation of Capel Street, and I asked him about the change in business there, and he said, like, yeah, some of the older businesses had closed, more coffee shops and restaurants had opened, but he made a really salient point, which was it's the type of people as well hanging around the city centre when it might be hollowed out like that. Do you take that point about, you know, what fills that vacuum beyond the cars and the public transport that's going through the city? Where are the people going to come for these businesses?
I suppose so, yeah. I am supportive of it, but, you know, I suppose I deal with more kind of in the science of the data and the numbers, and these are the types of things that I think the City Council need to be addressing, they need to be mindful of. I think that some of the suggestions there about, you know, earlier opening a Dublin 40 is immensely sensible, and it's something that we should be looking into doing immediately. We need to monitor the city. We need to have a better idea of how and what's going on and what's coming in and out of the city. I don't think that this very, very small change to two junctions in the city centre that has made massive national press and media is going to have that impact. They have been watered down. They're not as strong as perhaps they were at the start, but this is the direction of travel that's going to have to happen in our city. Our city, our population of people and cars are increasing. The city itself isn't getting any bigger, so something has to give. And as I said at the start there, 2% of the traffic was taking up 50% of the space. And it is sensible to put people, to give more priority to the buses to make them go through that junction quicker.
Just a final word on this, Ger, to you, please. You mentioned there that there's not enough loading bays throughout the city. Are you involved in any kind of campaign to try and increase that as a result of this new traffic plan?
Well, we met Dublin City Council about 2 years ago on the loading bay issue, and really we haven't gained any great traction since. We're available at any time to meet anybody regarding the delivery problems we have in around the city centre. And the feedback we're getting from shopkeepers and from people who's running businesses in the city is it's getting harder and harder because they're not getting deliveries on time. They're having issues with deliveries. We're having issues with vehicles. The loading bays in the city are not big enough to take the majority of vehicles. For example, we're now ending up where we were able to deliver 16 pallets of product off a rigid truck and maybe supply 3 or 4 premises. We're now ending up sending in 4 or 5 vans to do the same because the loading bays are not big enough to accommodate the 16 pallets.
Well, look, that might be something. That might be something, Ger, that we come back to at a future date when maybe this traffic plan is in place a little bit more and we have some more of that data that Brian spoke about there. But for now, we're going to have to leave it there. That was Ger Hyland, who's driver, operator and president of the Irish Road Haulers Association, and Brian Caulfield, professor in transportation at the School of Engineering at Trinity College.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.
At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.